This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli, your Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Christopher John O'Shea is the co-host tonight.
I am here. Drew, it's great to be with you.
You were on vacation.
I was, and Living Well Bonvasuto was here.
Mr. Living Well, yes, yes. And you went to the Keys, Florida Keys.
I was down there a little bit. I got to take a look at where the Masters gets played. We stopped in Augusta, Georgia there, too.
Oh, wow. There
yeah.
you go.
So,
and they kicked you off the course.
And they kicked us off the course. Have you been golfing in the last month at all?
Last time I played golf was probably beginning of May, and I play for the next time tomorrow.
Oh,
tomorrow morning, actually.
Good.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm excited about tonight and the show being
yeah.
here.
We have a guest, and so tell everyone who our guest is, or do you want me to?
Well, you're on a roll.
Okay, we've got Kurt Sheldon with us, and Kurt is a, is it like us? He's a NAPFA registered financial advisor. He's fee only, and that's why we believe that NAPFA, NAPFA.org, NAPFA, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, is the best organization if people are looking for a fee-only advisor, one that doesn't sell products, ones who have taken a fiduciary oath, one who assures that they have credentials, experience, education. You know, there's only one organization that does all that, and it's NAPFA. And you know what scares me is there are about 300,000 or 400,000 people who say they're financial advisors, but NAPFA can only get about 1,500 to 2,000 join their ranks because most people don't want to live to those standards in our industry. It's easier to make money for themselves to not have to be a fiduciary and so forth. So that's why I'm excited to have Kurt with us, but yeah. Kurt has a very specific specialty. It's with military benefits. And there are so many wrinkles to military people who have retired from the military, people who are in the military, and the little nuances that come into play for their taxes, retirement planning, the government benefits that they can have, the VA, et cetera, et cetera. It is a special area of concentration, and he is a former military officer. And so we're going to talk with him. He's right here with us. Kurt, we're talking about you like you're somewhere.
Yeah, I think I might be blushing. It's good to be here, Drew. Good to come up from Northern Virginia. Glad that I can sit down and talk about military benefits. It's really important to me that military members, either past, present, or future, get advice that guides them through the myriad of benefits and different ways that they can handle their financial affairs.
You know, and almost everybody is affected in or has somebody in their life that's been in the military. Even though you get into a room of 30, 40-year-old people and you say, who's been in the military? And you only get a small raise of hands as opposed to you get a bunch of people in 70s and 80s, and they almost all raise their hands. But still, either your parents, a brother and sister, one of your children, yourself, somebody has probably been in the military, and there are benefits available that they don't know about. And that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's true. And as I talk about sometimes, you know, a lot of times I'll get advice from what we call barracks lawyers, you know, and it's important to get advice and information from people who deal with this routinely, not someone who has heard about it from perhaps somebody else who heard about it from somebody else.
Yeah, and, you know, we get that a lot, too, you know, where somebody is in a retirement community and they say, you know, I did this because Joan told me that this is what she did. And you get that in the military. You get somebody who say, well, I can't do that, Kurt, because, you know, Joe, my locker mate, told me I can't do that. And
exactly.
And you know that that's not real planning.
Right, exactly. It takes a little bit more research and a little bit more time than just, again, even if Joe is right, his situation may not be the same as yours, and it may not, you know, be a good decision for you, even though it made sense for him.
There are so many pieces and parts to this, but one that I want to just address right off the bat is the survivor benefit and pensions, okay? So a military person is retiring, and they get in a pension, and it's a good pension. It's a very good pension.
Exactly.
And you're married. What do?
Okay, well, as a military member, when you retire, you know, I say you get the choice, but the reality is your spouse makes the choice on whether you're going to accept the survivor's benefit
plan. Most military people tell their spouse what they're going to do.
Well, they like to say that.
The general's general. general.
Yeah. There's usually the military member and then the what we call sink house, the commander in chief of the house. So, and usually that's not always the same person. But the military member, when he or she retires, receives a pension. And for a reduction in that pension, they have the ability to provide a survivor's benefit to their spouse. And the calculations are a little bit complicated, but in essence, you can leave your spouse up to 55% of your pension when you pass away. And what's really important about the Survivor Benefit Plan, or SBP, is the fact that it's inflation-adjusted.
That's unlimited inflation-adjusted, too, right?
That's correct, to the full faith and credit of the United States government. So it's going to, if inflation's, as measured by CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is 10%, then SBP is going to go up by 10%. So that's an amazing ability through this program to transfer inflation risk to the government. Plus, they're going to continue to pay for as long as your spouse lives. And we, as we know, life expectancies are increasing. Our generation's life expectancy is more than our parents, and our children's beneficiaries. Our life expectancy is going to be more than that. So you guarantee that the money won't stop. You'll guarantee that that amount of money will stay constant in inflated dollars. And, oh, by the way, you don't have to worry about the stock market being up or down in a particular year when you're taking money out. So I think those three risks that you can transfer to the government really justify the reduction in your pension to give that benefit to your spouse.
And the likelihood that at least one of the two is going to live significantly beyond life expectancy is real.
It's getting larger and larger,
sure,
every day. And,
yeah,
and you know, for 6.5% of pay or pension, that's really an incredible benefit. And there is no I see insurance agents out there saying, Kurt, you ought to buy a life insurance policy for your spouse and don't give up all that money just to, you know, give this benefit to your spouse. There's no life insurance policy on earth that can duplicate that.
Right, I agree. And I talk about that in some of the classes I give to transitioning military members. And you know, military members, they're good at planning, and they'll come up with a plan. And their plan may be, I'm going to live for 20 years, and then I'm going to die, and my spouse is going to live for 20 years, and there's going to be, and inflation's going to be 3%, and I'm going to get 5.072 in my investments. And that works just fine, even if you execute everything to the plan, because military members, they can execute a plan just as well as make one. And the only thing you get wrong is, instead of inflation being 3%, it's 4% for those 20 years that you're alive. You just reduced your spouse's benefit, your spouse's lifestyle, by 16%.
Right.
Just by that one mistake.
Yeah.
And there's going to be more mistakes in real life than that one.
Kurt, you have to hold on with us because we have to take a break or a pause or whatever we want to call it. But I want to tell our listeners that we're not going to take calls tonight, but you can call in and tell Anita if there's something specific you want to hear Kurt talk about tonight in the sense of military benefits, either active or retired, and we'll address that tonight. But right now, I have to go to Nick Rehack and traffic. You got to get a simpler name to say, you know? Nick, get a simpler
Where
name.
Are you, Nick?
Anyway, traffic, take it away, Nick.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You're probably not happy about that one, being an Air Force
I'm always
guy.
Happy to hear from our Navy brethren as well.
Anyway.
I should say, unless we're talking football, then if it's Air Force versus Navy and football, then it's a different story.
Now, Kurt, one of the most interesting and most overlooked areas of military benefits, in my opinion, is VA disability benefits. Because I have had clients who come to us and they have medical chronic medical issues. And we've said to them, have you talked to VA? You were in the military. And especially if you were in Vietnam or you were in Gulf War, you know, and so forth. And it's unbelievable that they have specific, if you have this and you were here, you get money, period.
Yeah.
So tell us a little more about that.
Drew, there's a couple different things. First of all, anything that happens to you or most almost anything that happens to you while you're on active duty is likely to, if you're not as good as you were when you went in, is going to lead to some sort of disability compensation from the VA, or at least a rating. Initially, you may not receive compensation, but in some specific
but
cases...
But that's an easy thing,
right,
because you started, and then you left, and you didn't, and so everyone
right.
knows that. But if after 10 years you've been out, and all of a sudden you're diagnosed with something, that's where you get
issues. Right, and that's where you've been to places like Vietnam, if you served in Vietnam, if you served in the Gulf War, in the Middle East, there are some certain presumptions that can make your illness service-connected. And for instance, it is presumed that if you served in Vietnam for just a day, in fact, it is presumed that you were exposed to Agent Orange. And Agent Orange has a lot of bad side effects. We know that now. I don't know that we knew it then. But if you have, and the best place to find the list of diseases that would be covered would be on the VA website, which is basically va.gov. But it's a lot of the cancers. I believe it covers diabetes as well. And you will be presumed to have service connection in that case, and you may be able, you will most likely receive a disability rating and may receive compensation for it. And VA compensation is tax-free. So this is a payback, if you will, from your country for your service and putting yourself in harm's way and being exposed to these different things. And we realize at this point that most likely this illness that you may have was there's a good chance that it was caused to by your potential exposure to these chemicals. Same thing with what is loosely called the Gulf War syndrome from the Middle East. And those tend to, I believe Lou Gehrig's disease is one of the ones covered there, more than the neuro type diseases. Again, a presumption is that if you have this disease, it's linked to your military service in that theater.
But you see, Kurt, now this is what's important on this, and that is... somebody served 4 years, and back in 1960s, they went to Vietnam for, say, 3 months. They leave Vietnam, and no matter what they did for the next 20 or 30 years of their life, and all of a sudden, it's 1998, they're diagnosed with diabetes, okay? They haven't been to Vietnam in 20-some years. They're diagnosed with diabetes. They immediately are eligible for some type of VA benefit, regardless what they did between day one leaving Vietnam and that day they're diagnosed with diabetes. And if they haven't gone in and collected... they are not going to get back pay.
No, unfortunately, there won't be back pay prior to a claim. So the clock starts on the day you make the claim, but there is compensation going forward.
But that's my point, is that any of our listeners out there that were in Vietnam, or they know somebody who was in Vietnam and now have some kind of chronic disease, they probably have a high probability that there's some type of VA benefit available to them, like you say.
Yeah.
Thanks for their service, and like Chris said it during the break, these people put themselves in harm's way, and they deserve this. I don't want to see them miss another day of benefit if they're entitled to it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And in that case, you know, like I said, I'd highly recommend that they go to the VA website, check the list of covered diseases that with the presumed connection to Agent Orange, and then file the claim.
But you also said that there are groups that you can go talk to that will take care of you.
That's true. If you there are veteran service organizations like the American Legion, the VFW, DAV, that will help you work through this process, and in most cases, they'll do it for free.
Yeah, and so a lot of people aren't members of their local American Legion or VFW or whatever, and so they could go there now and say, hey, you know, I've been diagnosed with whatever, heart, cancer, diabetes, something, and, you know, I was in Vietnam. Is there any benefit that I'm available to me?
Right.
You also said that sleep apnea, so somebody who might have been in Gulf War might be eligible for benefits under sleep apnea.
Well, I'm not sure. I'd be hesitant to say that one would service connect or connect to the service in the Gulf. That may not be on the list of specific.
But it could be.
It could be. It's worth checking. Again, those pros, the pros from Dover, as we like to say, they're at the VFW and American Legion. They are a very good resource that you can reach out to, and they're there to help.
But the really interesting key here, and a lot of people don't think about this, is they think that the military is going to go in and try to look at what you've done since you left the service to say, oh, well, you did this, this, and that, so this isn't related to the service. And that's not the way the government works. The government basically says, if you are here and you now have this and you've been diagnosed with this, you get benefits.
Correct.
And so I don't want to see anybody miss another day of that.
No, I agree. People should, you know, again, in a lot of these diseases that are connected with Agent Orange specifically, they're they're bad things. And,
yeah.
And you can you need and you deserve the help. And then the presumption is that you were exposed and that the disease came from that exposure.
And it's not a little bit of money either.
Right. Yeah.
And it's tax-free.
That's correct. You don't pay a dime worth of dime of taxes on any veteran benefit.
Most of the benefits I've seen for the people that we've helped with this, or we've said, you know, you need to talk to somebody, most of the benefits have been anywhere from $1,500 on the low side to up to $4,500 on the high side, 100% tax-free.
That is correct.
And we met with some clients 3 weeks ago, and he's getting this recently and almost feeling like a little bad about how much money they're giving. But as we said here, how do you put a dollar amount on the service time that they spent?
Yeah. And, Kurt, you made it clear that if a soldier says, you know, hey, I don't really believe I need this or deserve this, it's not costing anybody else any other money.
No, it's not like if you take it, somebody else won't get it. It's budgeted for and it's in the budget, and Congress has said you deserve it. At some point, the president said you deserved it because this is signed into law, and you certainly have earned it. And you're not helping anybody by saying, "Well, I don't really need it."
And tax free. That's exactly the amazing part of it all.
Yep.
And there's a lot of these little benefits like this that a lot of soldiers, who were either discharged, not retired necessarily, are entitled to. You're familiar with aid in attendance. If somebody like my father's 90 years old, served in World War II, 4 years he put in during World War II. If my father's medical bills exceed his income that he receives from different sources, he's entitled to like $1,800 a month in aid in attendance.
Yeah, I'm less familiar with that, but that's my understanding of that program. And again, it's
asset based too.
Right,
you have to get your assets down, but they don't have any restrictions on how to get your assets down.
Right, it's much more flexible, I guess.
Flexible
is
a very good way to put it. A flexible benefit and so forth. So you know, it's such an important thing for our military people out there who've served this country to understand that these benefits are out there for them.
Agreed. And the Veterans Administration does a pretty good job of outreach, but you got to kind of do a little bit poking around yourself as well and make sure you're looking out for yourself. Or again, go to one of those veteran service organizations.
So there's a few. Give them to us again that you would go to. You
okay.
Go to
the American Legion,
right?
Offers it. The Veterans of Foreign War.
You were mentioning MOA.
MOA is the Military Officers Association of America. They offer it as well. They're headquartered down in Alexandria, but I believe they can help you over the phone. And then the DAV, Daughters of American Veterans, as well, provides this service.
Right. So, you know, there are places for people to go, and they can get these services for free. And we've had a client that did that. They went to one of these organizations. They applied somebody for free to help them, and they brought them right through the application process and so forth.
Yeah, and in fact, if you choose, you can give them a power of attorney, and they'll take care of all of it for you. They'll call the VA on your behalf. They'll talk to the representatives. And
how far behind is the VA? But now, once you apply, VA may take 2 or 3 years to come to a decision. Hopefully not that long.
Yeah.
But you'll get back pay up to the day you apply.
Yes, from the application date, as mentioned, they don't go back in time to Vietnam or anything like that. But it part of it depends on where you live in the country. We're talking to people on the East Coast. There's a pretty strong military presence between, obviously, the Pentagon and several bases in Virginia and, of course, the Naval Academy here in Maryland. And so here in this part of the country, it can be a year to 2 years to get a determination on a disability claim. Other parts of the country where there's not as large a military presence, it can be shorter. I very rarely have heard of one that goes less than 6 months. So you're probably looking at a year to 18 months is a reasonable expectation if you're going through this process.
All right, Kurt, you're going to have to hold on with me. I've got to take another pause with Nick Rehack, and we're going to listen to traffic, then we're going to come back. If you want to call in and tell Anita something you want to hear us talk about on military benefits, you can call in 410-922-6680. She'll take your question, relay it to us, and then we'll ask Kurt for you. But right now, I have to take a pause, find out what's going on with traffic. Take it away, Nick.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Kurt Sheldon, and we're talking about military benefits. Kurt is a fee-only financial advisor like us. He's a member of NAPFA, the best organization. If you're looking for a fee-only advisor, one that doesn't have the ability to sell commission-based products, one that guarantees that they have taken a pledge to work solely on a fiduciary basis, one who's assured to be credentialed, educated, and experienced. That's what NAPFA requires.
Yeah, and for those who are listening and they're military and they're wondering, is he just come in, when did he come in involved with military people? He is a colonel, United States Air Force, retired. And so beyond that, he's not only been in the service, but he's been specializing in this since he's been out.
Kurt, how do people get in touch with you if there are military people who want somebody who specializes with military?
Well, they can get in touch with me through my website at www.clsheldon.com, or they can call the office at 703-542-4000.
Okay, so, you know, the rule in this is you always do everything twice.
Okay.
And slower.
Let me slow down. So that.
And you don't have to do this www.
Okay, C.L. Sheldon.
Sheldon, S-H-E-L-D-O-N.
.com. And the phone, clsheldon.com.
Right.
And the phone number is 703-542-4000. That's 703-542-4000.
There you go.
See, I can learn.
You do learn.
I do have the capability to learn.
Yeah, you're one of the first military people that learned that from me, you know. Usually I have to say it a few times.
I've been retired for a while, so it might have something to do with it.
Anyway, so we're talking about military benefits. And, you know, you're also, we're CPAs and we do a lot of tax returns. You're an enrolled agent. You're a licensed enrolled agent. You do a lot of tax returns for your people. And there's an incredible amount of tax benefits for military people.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the big shocks for, I think, probably 90% of the military people when they retire is how much their tax bill goes up. Because a lot of our income when you're on active duty is tax advantaged. For instance, you know, I think there's somewhere around 67 different types of pays and or of compensation, and pretty much anything that has the word allowance in it is going to be tax free income. And when you get on the outside, there's not that advantage for you. Pretty much everything that you earn is taxed. So taxes are a huge issue for military members. There's a lot of tax advantages. For instance, for most Americans, when they move and need to sell their house to determine whether it was their primary residence, they had to live in it for two out of the last 5 years. But a military member, if they're moving due to military orders, has the option of suspending that time for 10 years. So they could almost get out to 15 years and still consider that home a primary residence.
And if they're in the military in a combat zone, all their pay is tax-free?
Virtually, you know, for some high-ranking officers, that's not always the case. But for virtually everybody else, you know, general officers and flag officers, that's not always the case. But for most of us, that's going to be the case when you're in a combat zone. You're going to have tax-free income, which makes for some really interesting things that you can do. For instance, military members have access to Roth TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan, available to government employees. And if you're making tax-free income and you can put it into your Roth account where you'll never pay taxes on it when you take it out, that's a pretty darn good deal. I mean, very rarely that I say that there's a no-brainer in the planning business, in the finance business, but that's about as close as it comes. If you can put tax-free income into a Roth TSP or a Roth IRA, for that matter, and never have to pay taxes on it when you take it out.
So we've had a couple listeners call in. One's asking, can children of vets get college benefits? Now, so let's make sure that we cover both sides, somebody who just was in the military for 4, 5, 6 years and somebody who retires. Two different types of people.
Yeah, so I've got some good news and some bad news, I guess is probably the best way to put it. If you are eligible for the post 9/11 GI Bill, so basically served after September 11th, 2001, you have a GI Bill benefit that may be able to be transferred to your children.
If you didn't use it.
That is correct. If you used it up on yourself, anything that you've used on yourself, you can't transfer to your children. So the maximum benefit is 36 months if you've never used it, and you were on active duty on or after the 1st of August, 2009. So unfortunately, if you retired on July 31st, 2009, you're not eligible, even though you are covered by the post 9/11 GI Bill. Then you have the option, you may have the option of transferring the benefits to your spouse or your children. The services, i.e. the Army, the Air Force, all set their own rules. Generally speaking, it's going to be around 10 years of service you'll be able to transfer benefits to your spouse, and around 14 years of service you'll be able to transfer benefits to your children, but you're going to need to continue a certain amount of time after that. So you have to, for someone, you know, unfortunately, that retired before August 1st, 2009, you don't have that benefit. If you retired after August 1st, 2009 and did not transfer the benefit to your children or spouse before you retired, unfortunately, you've lost that benefit.
So you had to transfer just a little.
Yes, the individual, you have to at least set up 1 month to the child or to an individual, and then you can move it around between children and your spouse, but you have to establish the benefit for the either your spouse or your children before you leave active duty. Because in reality, the ability to transfer the benefit is a retention tool. It's to help people, it's to encourage people to stay in so that they can pass this benefit on to their spouse or their children. But
if you use it on yourself...
Yeah, it's a one-shot deal. In my particular case, I used about 3 months on myself while I was on active duty. I transferred 33 months or so to children.
And you used it, either all on one child or a little bit on each?
You can use a little bit on each. You want to be careful because there can be some tax ramifications if a child gets a scholarship and is on GI Bill, because GI Bill pays 100%. If they're going to an in-state school, it pays 100% of qualified tuition and fees. If they get a scholarship that is would at that point pay for something other than tuition and fees, that scholarship could be taxable income to the child.
Right. The other caller here is asking a question about, VA provides a lot of benefits that a lot of vets aren't taking advantage of for medical. Like, you can get glasses, hearing aids, and all kinds of things of that sort.
That's true. And again, for VA medical care, I work less with that. But generally speaking, it has to be related. For instance, if you need glasses and you're not don't meet the criteria, you may not be able to get it. Probably a better case would be, let's say you develop diabetes and it's not service-related and it's not linked. You wouldn't be able to necessarily get insulin from the VA because it's not service-connected. But if it was service-connected, then you may be able to get your treatment for that as well. So it's a little bit
tricky. But you could get it, even if you can't get it for free, you can probably get it cheaper than you may be able to get it elsewhere.
That's a possibility.
I know my father loves to go to the VA to get a lot of his benefits, got his hearing aid. Yes, correct.
I was going to say, and what about, you said there's thousands are dying per day. People who served.
In the World War II generation.
In World War II generation. So what about funerals?
In general, a veteran can be buried in a veteran cemetery, essentially no cost for the burial. That's not exactly true, the case for Arlington. Arlington has special rules.
Right.
But they can be buried. They can request a funeral detail with a flag, and taps will be sounded. That is, again, their benefit and their right as a military member. They can also, this is a nice thing, I think, especially for grandchildren and of a veteran. You can request a certificate from the Veterans through the Veterans Administration, signed by the president, thanking the deceased service member for their time serving the country. And you can get as many copies of those as you'd like, give one to each grandchild or whatever the case may be. And all you have to do is ask. And it's a relatively simple process. Again, va.gov, and you can walk right through it. And it's a nice benefit for the kids as well.
Excellent.
I'll have to hold on because we have to take another pause, and we're going to come back with Kurt
last
Sheldon, and the last one, and we're going to come back with Kurt, talk about the last few things about military. There's a thousand other things we could talk about. So if any of our listeners want us to address something specific, 410-922-6680, just tell Anita. We'll ask Kurt when we come back from this break with Mark Thibodeau and the weather. Take it away, Mark.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
She never hit the Air Force song, so
no,
what is that?
She's working hard, though.
What is the Air Force?
It's Off We Go.
Off We Go into the Wild Blue Yonder.
That's the one.
There you go. You want to sing it for us?
I'll pass on that one.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Maybe we can get Chris to sing it for you.
You'd need a really good echo chamber to make that worth it.
We could do karaoke for you if you want there, Kurt,
We'll save that one.
Anyway, I was going to ask this exact question, but a caller called in and said... that her spouse served in Vietnam. He was in Vietnam. He died of cancer. He never, even when he was diagnosed, he never went to the VA and asked for any benefits. And she's wondering, Is there anything that I'm able to get now, since he never collected anything?
I would put that at a maybe. I think there's a reasonably good chance, and it's certainly worth checking into. There is a benefit called Dependent and Indemnity Compensation, DIC, because it's military and we got to have an acronym for
everything
in the military. So DIC is available to spouses of deceased first service members. There are some pretty specific rules on whether you qualify or not. There has to be a service connection. Sounds like there could be one here. You have to be married at time of death is one of the other major ones. And the death has to have been caused by the service-connected illness is one of the ones I specifically remember. For example, if your service connection was diabetes and you died from getting run over by a bus, the dependency in indemnity or DIC wouldn't cover. But I think it's certainly worth looking into. If possible, va.gov is a good place to start looking, or go again to one of those veteran service organizations, the VFW, American Legion, DAV. They might be able to give you a good solid answer on that as well.
All right. We only have a few minutes left. We were talking about taxes also, and one of the cool things about military people is that they can designate their residency in a state. They had to actually live there for a period of time. But once they're in a tax-free state, like Texas, Florida, New Hampshire, Tennessee, they can keep their residency there, even though they move to all kinds of other higher tax states.
Yeah, that's true. And it used to be called, under the Soldier and Sailors Relief Act, now it's called the Service Members Relief Act. If you establish residency in a state, you can maintain that residency. And that's it makes sense if you think about it, because otherwise a military member moving every 2 to 3 years, they're going to be getting a new driver's license, registering to vote. It's a lot of additional burden on that military member, and they're only in that state because of the military orders. One of the byproducts of that is if you are, like as mentioned, if you get stationed in a tax-free state, you can choose to establish that state as your residency and maintain it throughout a career. And in 2009, President Obama signed into law essentially the same benefit for spouses. The spouse has to live in the state as well. They can't just adopt the residency of their spouse, of the military member, but they can as well maintain a tax-free status or maintain residency in a tax-favorable state and exclude, if you will, that earned income from state income taxes.
Now, Anita wrote one here from a caller, and it says, honorable discharge, how long for them to collect benefits? I'm not sure what benefits they're saying that they're expecting to collect, but you know what he might be?
I mean, the GI Bill benefits would be, if they served the requisite time, which I believe is 3 years, that would be relatively automatic. If there's VA disability involved, as we mentioned, it could be 12 months to 2 years, a year to 2 years to get that. Beyond that, I can't think of anything specific there.
Yeah, Chris.
Just to turn to another topic, because there's so many, and one is health care. So you mentioned that retiring. Okay, so they're covered by TRICARE, but now they're approaching 65. They've got Medicare. They're thinking about Part B, Part D. What are they supposed to do? What should they do?
Well, the first thing to realize is when you become eligible for Medicare, and actually it's not just age-based if you become eligible for Medicare because it's Social Security or disability,
right.
You are required to take Medicare Part B to keep your TRICARE in effect. And you, at that point, transition to what's called TRICARE for life. And it's basically with Medicare as the primary payer and TRICARE as the secondary insurer. So it's very important, even if your employer offers health insurance and you're getting health insurance from your employer and you're saying, I don't need Medicare because I'm still working. If you want to keep your TRICARE in force, you need to sign up for that Medicare Part B. Now, as far as Medicare Part D goes, for most military members, if they're retired and covered by TRICARE, probably doesn't make sense for them to do that because they've got good pharmacy benefits between the military pharmacies on base and TRICARE at your local drugstore you can get with a pretty reasonable copay. So for most folks with TRICARE coverage as a retiree, I would not think that Medicare Part D would be appropriate.
And TRICARE is only for those that are retired from the military. And I see a lot of retired military working somewhere and spending a lot of money on medical insurance with their new employer or something of that sort. What would you advise a military person to do?
Well, if you look at the dollars and cents side of it, which is where I start with this kind of stuff, TRICARE is good, solid insurance. It has reasonable copays. It has a low catastrophic cap compared to with most other ACA-compatible plans. It's significantly lower catastrophic cap and a much lower deductible. So it's good, solid insurance, and I don't think there's a compelling financial reason to have another insurance through an employer. Now, you may want a TRICARE supplement. You may want to, you know, if a certain doctor or a certain medical group is important to you and you can't, they don't accept TRICARE, then you may consider employer-sponsored insurance. But there's really not a compelling financial reason to take that employer coverage when you've got coverage by TRICARE. It's good insurance.
Kurt, as usual, time flies when we're having a good time, so we're almost out of time. Tell everybody again, if somebody's out there wants a fee-only advisor that specializes with military people, how do they get in touch with you personally?
Okay, they can contact me through my website at clsheldon.com, Sheldon, S-H-E-L-D-O-N, that's clsheldon.com. They can give me a call at 703-542-4000. That's 703-542-4000.
Well, that was fantastic. And, you know, there is a lot that people can easily miss with military benefits, especially on the tax return. And do you have any parting words for our military people out there listening or those family members?
Well, again, I would say thanks for standing the watch. We appreciate that. And now that I'm an old retired guy, I appreciate that you go out and do that. As much as you get good advice from your buddies at work, make sure that's not your only source.
Right.
There's a lot of misperceptions out there and a lot of rumors. And, take the time either to do some independent research or find somebody who can do it for you.
All right.
And I'm going to add one last thing, and we're going to thank Sue Slawinski, who's here with us off mic, who helped set up a lot of this today.
She's one of our associates at the consulate, CPA, right. CFP, Sue Slawinski, and I appreciate all that she does for us on a day-to-day basis in the firm. Kurt, great to have you with us.
It's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
All right. Well, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.